What's your name? Ken.
Yes, what's my name? Jesus Christ.
Lock on. This is Superhero Time. With XV. Hey, Mickey.
Hi, kids. Flap, 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 flap.
Paladin. Ken. And Fort Max.
Dole. Dole, 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 dole.
So this week on Superhero Time, it's all movies all the time.
Yeah, can we get going before I have to start beating this microphone like a sack of dumb puppies?
Didn't you do that already before we started?
I'm glad he went further with that, because I heard beating this microphone, and I'm like, oh, wait a second here.
Now, when you say sack...
Oh, we're off to a good start.
Sack just means scrotum, right? And dumb puppies is your euphemism for your testicles?
Of course.
Yeah.
What do you call them?
Yeah, that'll take over the Whale in Me Nightmares.
What?
This is a Moby Dick reference. It's literary. Read a book, bitch.
A lot of things overtake the Whale in Me Nightmares, honestly. Usually weekly. That's funny about
no,
that.
No, my problem was I couldn't understand what Paladin was saying because of his microphone.
Oh, we understood.
Well, I understand, Mickey. You understand Paladin as his microphone dies.
You're the Paladin Whisperer.
Good job, Ken. You're elected.
Oh, God. What an honor.
I'm not thrilled either, you know.
But you get to whisper to Ken.
Ken will be signing for Paladin for the hearing impaired.
It's easy to sign for Paladin, though. All you need is two fingers. That joke's not original at all, but damn if it's not funny. So, before the show started, we were considering having Fort Max do the news because Paladin's having technical difficulties. I really don't care which one of you does it, but let's get on with the news. Bonus points if Fort Max can manage to talk over Paladin at every point for the news segment.
Oh, Jesus. This is going to take forever.
Well, oh, yes. First, Trigger is going to be releasing a animated Gridman short on Friday.
What?
Trigger? You said
yes.
Trigger? Ooh, Trigger.
What?
What's Trigger?
Trigger
the studio
is behind...
that did Inferno Cop.
Trigger
Which
also
means
did
what?
Little Witch Academia and Kill la Kill.
Ew.
Well, it means they can animate a good thing. They aren't necessarily in charge of, you know, story.
Or I hope not.
Taste.
Well, I mean,
well,
they
wrote Inferno Cop, which was great.
They animate what they're told to animate, you know. I'm not really sure who to blame for Kill la Kill in its, you know, general sense.
Nakashima, who wrote Forza.
I blame Japan.
Huh. Well, Nakashima did Gurren Lagann too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and that turned out, kind of turned out better. What, Fort Max?
He also did Panty and Stalking.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess Kill la Kill was just an aberration.
I won't get into that, but I do like Kill la Kill as it goes further on. But go on.
Kill la Kill seems kind of like Panty and Stalking without the intentional self-awareness.
Oh, trust me, it's very self-aware, but that's...
It just seemed like pornography when I watched it.
Which one?
Yeah. Kill la Kill.
Oh, because Panty and Stalking basically is...
Oh, okay.
But you know, Panty and Stocking owns it.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I never would have guessed from that name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Also, this week we got the first trailer for Superhero
Tyson. No, but wait. Why are they doing a Gridman short?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Like, we're kind
why
of...
Why, of all things Ultra, why Gridman, specifically?
I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Now, will we actually see this at some point?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, in some capacity, I'm sure. If you mean will we see it...
It's going to be going up on Nico, so...
I mean, if you mean will we see this in, like, an official release capacity in the West, probably not, but... you know, no. Someone will make this available to us somehow.
I want a Tim Curry dub.
Yes. Yes.
Is he still able to do that? I know he had a stroke a while back.
And didn't they recast his part in Rescue Bots?
Oh.
That's sad.
Tim Curry may be out of the voice acting business at this point. I don't really know, but...
Just like Ron Burrell's voice actor in Build Fighters.
Oh.
Yeah, after about episode 3 of Try, it's a different actor because he had to be hospitalized.
How bad's the difference?
I didn't even notice until I was told after the fact.
Okay, well, see, that's probably better then.
Yeah.
Did you watch the first season of Legend of Korra?
Not yet. Yes. I've seen a couple episodes, but it hasn't ever hooked me.
Do you care if I spoil something?
Oh, no, I've been spoiled up to the ending thanks to the internet, so go on.
Okay, no, the point I was going to make is it's like when Iroh comes back toward mm-hmm. the end of the season with obviously a different voice actor because, you know.
Right.
And it's just really like, you know, they tried their best, but from the pool they had available, there was just no way.
Nah, yeah.
Apparently Raul came out better than that, though.
Oh, yeah, Raul comes out just fine.
Not that I've even started watching Try or the second half of the first series yet.
You need to do that.
It'll be there later.
Try is very G Gundam at times.
It'll be there later.
By at times, he means all the time.
Later.
What about now?
Besides, if I start seriously acknowledging Build Fighters Try, Don will just push for us to do a podcast about it again.
Wait, well...
Don desperately wants...
It is too far into the series to do a podcast for. It only has, like, 11 episodes left, so no.
Don desperately is looking for someone doing a podcast or wants to do a podcast or, you know...
No, he has his RC. He needs a new purpose in life.
No.
He's still holding out for the masterpiece, though, so he still has some kind of RC to hold on to.
Oh, God. There's a whole other tangent, but I probably don't want to put that in the actual show.
Maybe you can get, like, an RC body pillow to satisfy this need.
Well, you know, there is a company that will produce custom body pillow covers. I've heard from two people who've actually had work done on this.
Andrew, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But anyway, I think somebody was saying something about Superhero Tyson GP.
Right, we got the first trailer, including the first look at Kamen Rider 3.
Who looks a lot more like a modern-ish
It
writer.
Looks like they're reusing Kamen Rider the First.
Kinda?
Which is not a bad idea, really.
No, because, yeah, like,
designs from those movies were pretty good.
The fact is, if the third is a villain, those suits work for that purpose as a design counterpoint to the classic suits.
Yep. And now, of course, I noticed they're calling it Superhero Tyson still, but there's not even a slight sign of any Super Sentai in here.
Yes.
Funny that.
Yeah. The posters show, like, Drive, Mach, and the third or Black and Ichigo. But ain't no sign of any Sentai in there.
Oh, you know why?
Solve this problem?
No, you know why there's no sign of the Sentai in there?
Why?
Because they're ninjas.
They're not going to be in the movie. They're just not going to be. It's going to be a common... Superhero Tyson is not going to be a Kamen Rider franchise at this point. Unless another, like, Metal Hero or Ishinomori Hero shows up in there randomly, it's... Yeah.
Skull Man.
Oh, man! Don't do that. That would be awesome.
You know,
I want to see a Toku Skull
Machine Man.
Zaborgar! Yeah. Instead of doing 15...
That's not Ishinomori, though.
I don't care.
Skull Man just randomly shows up with Skull.
Yeah. And Kamen Rider 15.
Yeah.
Because really, why not just use Skullman in that role since they didn't actually merchandise 15 at all?
Right.
They should have them do like Three Stooges routines, like one of them's holding a ladder spinning back and forth.
So, okay, which one would be Curly? Because it can't be Narumi.
No.
Well, clearly Narumi is Mo, because he's the smart, cool one.
Okay. I guess 15 would have to be Larry, because he's got the hair.
Yes, absolutely.
So curly is still a man.
So does okay. that make Shotaro Shemp?
No, Shotaro would be Harpo.
But anyway,
Shotaro would be Curly Joe.
No, Shotaro doesn't even share the skull theme, so he wouldn't be part of the group at all.
Yeah.
Mickey's on the right track. He would be, you know, along the same line, but independent.
Right.
Poor Shotaro.
Oh, we'll get to that. But let's see, what else happened this week? Oh yeah, the Legacy Megazord is getting a reissue.
Yay.
For like $60.
Oh, hey, at the very least, you know, it's not Tommy, and it does go with the Dragonzord, so, you know, that's good.
Yeah, so, okay.
They kind of needed to do that with Dragonzord having come out.
Legacy Megazord's getting a reissue, and it's not going to be a Toys R Us exclusive.
Oh, shit.
It's at Big Bad Toy Store right now.
And Entertainment Earth.
How much?
$60, I think.
Oh, that's...
$70 at Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, check Entertainment Earth, because I'm pretty sure it was like $60.
Yeah,
No, but, you know, it's not an exclusive. It's not horribly overpriced.
Compared to eBay.
Well, I still think more than $40 for a deluxe Megazord in that range.
How much does the 2010 cost now?
Oh, God, how do I navigate this site?
Entertainment Earth?
Yeah.
There should be a search box near the top.
Ah, there it is.
Fort Max, in your experience with the Legacy Zords... Do you think the 2010 edition Megazord would actually be able to support the Dragon Zord?
Yes,
or would
it's,
it just
it's
collapse?
Yes. Megazord coming out May. It is $59.99 at Entertainment Earth.
So yeah, so there you go.
There. Tempting.
And actually, I think it would probably be able to better support it since it would be holding up less diecast.
Okay. So how much does the 2010?
There's a joke about RFC in there somewhere, but I just can't put it together.
That's here's one for 35. Here's one for 29.
2010 editions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they complete?
Looks Box? Like it. I'm not clicking on the links to find out, but, you know, whatever.
Tokenation. Yeah. Well, that's good.
But no, for people who actually want, you know, specifically the Legacy version to go with the other Legacy Zords, cheap option, comparatively.
Ooh, a Kaku Ranger Morpher.
So I heard secondhand that Toys R Us may have canceled further orders of Legacy items. Do you know anything about that, Paladin?
I've heard conflicting stories about that. Like, they've canceled that assortment and they're just redoing them under new listings or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise me. It's not... I mean, that stuff sits around kind of now, doesn't it?
And they are supposed to be bringing in the Tiger Zord before too long.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if it's a misinterpretation of they're discontinuing all the current listings and, you know, clearing them out of their inventory for the 2015 stuff.
See, I got a question as how long the Power Rangers fan base can maintain these Legacy items. Because the farther we get from Mighty Morphin, the less fans there are going to be that care.
Well, the fact of it is, you know, they're running out of Tommy stuff they can produce. So it's a limited lifespan regardless. Like, eventually they will hit a critical mass of Tommy and just not be able to do anymore.
Well, I mean, they still got Zio and Season 3 and
nobody cares
Turbo
about Zio.
And yeah,
nobody cares about people. Zio, and the Legacy movie figures are probably as close as we're going to get to a stand-in for Season 3.
Yeah, that's you're right.
Which is fine, because those are more interesting-looking suits. Assuming they actually look like something in production.
And let's say just reissue the other figures into sparkly plastic from metallic armor.
Chrome.
Love to see everyone freak out if they do Legacy Shogun Zords and the arms still pink.
I would love
that
to
would
be see,
kind of delicious.
I'd love to see them do Legacy Shogun Zords, the arms not pink, and people freak out because it's not the same as the original toys.
That's sort of a glorious catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no right answer for them.
No. No, they do it, but they do two different versions, but you can't tell which one's in the box.
like, for the longest time, I thought it was too bad the movie didn't use the Shogun Zord designs for its Megazord, because you could have had the movie edition, which would have had the pink arm, and then the normal edition would have the white arm to match the TV version.
But if they used the Shogun Zords in the movie, though, how would they flap to the moon to kick Ivan Ooze in the balls?
They still have a Falcon Zord.
Yeah, but it's not a flying thing, though.
It would be in the movie verse.
Yeah, CGI model, they would make it where it was just, you know, a wing pack on there and could be the cannons when it needed to be.
Hmm.
They would make it do non-toy accurate stuff like all those things had in the movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like how it moved its arms and legs.
And, you know, the way it transformed.
And
where,
knees.
Yeah.
Non-toy accurate things like motion.
Yes. Non-toy accurate things like, you know, complexity in the way it works. Or, you know, having a face.
So weird.
Yeah, it kind of was. It seems like they made those CGI models with, like, design drawings and not actual, like, 3D models to start with. Like, they didn't
I
have...
think it's more like they had a webcam aimed at Japan and someone's, like, waving the toy in front of the thing. Back
no,
in the early
no,
90s.
But just, like, with the production timetable of the movie, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they either were working with control art for the original toys or maybe photographs at best. Like, they probably didn't get any physical pieces sent to them to model from. So nothing was quite right because they were having to fill in a lot of details. Just
like George Lucas would give us a special edition of the Power Rangers movie.
Oh my god.
Where he'd replace every character with Tommy.
CGI Tommy.
I was supposed to say Dulcia with Tommy's head on it.
There's another whale again.
Oh my god. Why?
All the helmets now, instead of having visor and faceplate, just has Tommy's face superimposed over it.
They'll dig out the footage from the first time they shot the movie.
No. I'm not saying, like, open visor and stuff.
No, they'll do that and put CGI Tommy inside those.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Ivan Ooze with Tommy's face.
And, yes, they'll
still
put CGI
the difference,
Tommy inside the Tommy helmet.
Just because.
What was that?
I think it was Zelda.
Fort Max?
News?
That's not where I was going with that, but okay.
Not a lot else happened this week, but I should mention that Marvel's running some ongoing Spider-Man crossover, and one of the characters they have included is the Japanese Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, Leo Pardon showed up just randomly on one page. Yeah,
oh, wow.
But they broke it right away.
Did they really?
Hey, it's so accurate.
I only saw the one page. It's like there's Moreland and a bunch of Spider-Man around him, and then suddenly the light shines down from the sky, and a shout of Leo Pardon comes down, and they're like, "What manner of creature are you?" And then he has this little
about,
you know,
being well, he's the emissary of hell.
From hell, translated from the Japanese.
And as a side effect, they've started to put episodes of the series back up on Marvel's website.
Oh, good!
Well,
one
they're,
and seven.
They're all up. They never actually took the episodes themselves down, just weren't linked on the pages anymore.
Oh, good. Good. I need to go back.
They scribbled out the name of the box they were shoved in.
There's only two that are officially up right now, though.
But but you could still view all of them from the player's menu.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think, you know, situations like that, they actually ever take the files down. They just disable access to them.
That sounds like how Sony handles media.
We're not doing power playback on that again.
No!
Not unless we make Gigabeetle watch an episode.
But we'd get it right this time. We'd pick an episode that was fun and not boring. I swear.
So we wouldn't let Fort Max
watch it. Watch it in advance.
Remember that time we wanted to watch an episode of Black and Fort Max picked the most boring one possible?
Yeah, what the hell, Fort Max?
The most confusing one because it was like right in the middle of a plot transition.
Right.
And you made us hate Black forever.
No, I'm going to go back through Black eventually, just like from the start.
Well, just like once we, you go watch Black. Sailor Stars eventually.
Well, when it gets redubbed,
just like that,
or
just
not
like
redubbed, when it gets dubbed for the first time ever. I mean, they're going pretty fast with the Sailor Moon redub. That could be done as early as 2017.
I laugh because it's true.
Well, isn't there like 280 something episodes of Sailor Moon?
There's 200 even.
Oh. Yep. I guess,
and
you
they
know,
are a quarter through it now.
I guess R just felt really, really long. That's what R stands for, really, really long.
Really long. Yeah, R feels really, really long, yes. But
and see, it works,
and
it works better.
Is super, and Super S is super slow.
No, R works better as an abbreviation in Japanese because, you know, the same sound goes for really and long.
Yeah, really wrong. Oh, God, that was kind of racist.
That was really wrong.
Intro
then.
Quote.
Damn it. I realized it after it came out of my mouth. I'm sorry, Japan.
Intro quote.
Oh, kill me now.
Intro quote.
Intro quote.
As I was going to say,
stop talking.
The second half, second half of season one of Sailor Moon did go up on Hulu. I don't know if it's already back.
It's gone.
The Blu-rays come out next month. So then R will be in a couple months after that. And they're moving pretty fast for what they could be going.
I wonder what screw ups the next set of Blu-rays is going to have on it.
Am I like kind of alone in thinking the first half of R was better than the second?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
Doom Tree was awesome. It had Usagi being the most Usagi ever.
No, yeah, the Doom Tree arc was really nice, and the second half of R just seemed to drag on forever.
It did. And
the thing of Freeny as a focus sucks.
I didn't really care. I didn't really give a shit about the villains in R either, in the second half. Which doesn't help, because they focused a lot on them too.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care about the...
And hey, guess what story is getting ready to start in Sailor Moon Crystal?
Shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Well, Sailor Moon Crystal in general. But regardless, I didn't really... Also, didn't really care about the way that they, you know, kind of, like, kept throwing wrench... The way they kept throwing wrenches in Usagi and Mamoru's relationship just kind of felt really forced. And R, especially.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is that you had a problem with it because it, like, contradicted your shipping.
No, God, no. I'm just talking about the storytelling perspective. That kind of shit can get very annoying.
It's that it started becoming miscommunication. Like you're half expecting Mamoru to wind up being thrown in a river at some point.
Yeah.
Are you sure he didn't get thrown in a river at some point? Because they, like, just, over the course of the series, they shit on him pretty bad.
Also, this is a good description of the last year pre-cure, too, so...
Blah, blah, Ken.
Basically, Toei doesn't need to write romance, ever.
So what you're saying is they need to have the writers from Boy Precure write actual Precure.
I'm afraid to watch that.
Afraid it will stir things in you, Ken?
No, I'm just like...
From the first episode, it is Precure except it has boys. That is it. The only thing that it even bothers trying to make fun of is some camera angles that Toei overuses in Precure.
Okay.
And crotch Toei shots. Animation.
No, there's Toei avoids crotch shots, amazingly enough.
Well, this is more dramatic angles that it's making fun of.
Well, I make fun of those anyway, so. Yeah. Okay, you know, if they play it a bit straight,
the first episode was played completely straight.
Okay, that's actually kind of an interesting way to do it, because if it's just pointing and laughing at it, it's like nah. But if it's played straight, that could be funny, actually. More funny than trying to be, you know, a parody.
Yeah, it is, from what I've heard people describing it, that it is a better Precure series than Precure has been recently.
Yeah, half of these charges is fucking terrible. But that's another topic entirely.
One for a different series.
Yes.
Podcast series, I mean.
Yes.
Go find a Pretty Cure podcast somewhere, Ken.
No.
There must be Pretty Cure podcast out there somewhere.
There is.
You know this.
I know of this. I know somebody who has done one.
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 Meaning, like it only had one episode, or...
No, no, no.
Or he's done a Pretty Cure.
No.
Oh, dear.
But regardless...
Well, you know, probably, like, half of the stage show Pretty Cure characters are dudes in suits anyway, so... I mean, just, you know, male or female, that could totally still be, you know, somebody
that, that also sure. requires staring at them for longer than 5 minutes without your eyes burning out.
Minutes?
No, it's not your eyes that burn out, it's your soul.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. Eyes in 5 seconds, soul in 5 minutes.
I don't really see the problem with those stage show costumes, but they, whatever.
Yeah, they're nothing as creepy as the promotional costumes for the One Piece characters.
I was thinking the Digimon stage show.
God, those were rad too.
Yeah, no, the God. One Piece what the Nami from the Nami for that they had in the from the One Piece stuff was creepier than the Digimon ones. Somehow.
Oh. Somehow.
One Piece stage show. These links are not relevant, Google. God damn you.
Fort Max, maybe you can help out.
Maybe quotes will help me. Or maybe a bit of a minus fashion modifier. Here we go. Here's a... Oh, Jesus.
Googling with Hey Mickey.
We are a professional podcast from podcast country.
So, you know,
if I scroll down a little bit, there's sort of Miley Cyrus's asshole. Fantastic.
What?
Now Paladin's interested. Well, she's legal now, right?
Oh, God.
Well, no,
legal
I'm
not,
just,
here you go, enjoy.
I'm just thinking for Paladin's sake, so, like, the people in black vans don't come for him.
Christ! Why do I click on Mickey's links?
Because you're a fool!
Apparently, you thought I would have learned years ago, but no.
Right, so you found that, but did you find the One Piece thing we were talking about?
I found one thing, and it's not terribly helpful.
Oh. Fort Max?
I found this.
Let me see if I can dig him up.
Yeah, that's not terribly helpful, is it?
No.
Nothing here looks all that alarming on the surface of it.
Also incredibly small.
Yeah, that's probably not helping anything.
Control. Oh, those actually look like actual people.
Yeah.
So that's probably not what you're talking about.
Probably. I was kind of thinking the same thing.
And that's more of the current cast. So he's probably talking about, like, older when it was...
Yeah, we really need to get on with talking about these movies.
Can we? Please. Why are we talking about One Piece? Nobody here likes One Piece. I don't know.
You're the one who started it.
Fort Mac, did you do it?
How do you figure that? I didn't start.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Well, there you go. It's good because you have the Digimon suit should there for...
Oh, my God, why? Oh, God. Nami is staring into my soul.
Hey, you know what? This is going to be... This picture is going on the podcast post when the show goes up.
Christ, why?
You don't mean the Miley Cyrus one, do you?
No, I'm not using that one.
Christ, why?
This is the horrifying Gilmon costume I've ever seen.
I don't know. No, we're not going to go into the first. Let's move on. Movies, Tokyager.
The first one had a penis.
Terrible idol actress. Come on, let's go.
You saw a Gilmon costume with a penis?
Yes.
Huh.
Hold on a second. I'll probably find it quickly.
No! I'm not clicking on that, whatever that is.
Fine, I'll just post a link to some, like, banana bread recipes.
Fort Max, why did you post the second one? That's not horrifying.
Yes, it is!
Not really.
It's still kind of horrifying.
Okay, here's the guy here.
No! Not clicking. Nope, not gonna happen. Let's talk about trains. Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Ken, tone it down.
Sorry.
We appreciate the restraint you usually are managing the show.
Sorry.
We understand these are trying times.
I'm sorry. That flipped.
Yeah, we're trying to talk about pornography, Ken. Don't be obscene.
I'm not clicking on that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm never clicking on that.
Okay, hang on. Oh, wait. What does Fort Max have now?
No! Why is everybody... I'm just going to stay over here.
Wait, here's one more. I think XV will like this one.
Oh?
Oh yeah. No.
What's this one?
Oh. God, that neck.
I don't want to know.
Neither do I.
I mean, if Ken won't click on these links, we could always just, like, screen cap the relevant parts and put them on an imager and,
Jesus Christ, I'll click on the damn link. Shut up.
Honestly, Ken, how much worse could it be than what you've already seen tonight?
Well, no, I just get pop-ups, and I'm not dealing with that shit. Sorry!
Well, you need a pop-up blocker.
Well, that's not happening right now.
You should have a pop-up blocker anyway. You know, going back to this first picture, the relevant one Fort Max posted to begin with, I'm kind of surprised that kid doesn't look more horrified under the circumstances.
I think the kid is actually a robot to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
That would make that. That would make more sense.
Okay.
That would make more sense.
Okay, so enough pornography and scary costumes. Let's talk about Tokuger.
I guess.
Who's eating?
Ken.
I'm eating to shut myself up.
Well, sometimes you just gotta stick something in your mouth, right, Ken?
Right.
So, space.
The final...
The Galaxy Express 3-9 is hurtling through space.
Oh, good.
Being chased by the pink liner.
A fabulous liner.
Yes.
They're being pursued by Lord Chumley.
it knocks off the rails and sends the butt half of the train falling off into the deep recesses of space, while the lion train penetrates the Earth's atmosphere like a giant flaming cock.
Oh, it kind of does look... Oh. And then we cut
And you
to
thought
Wright,
we weren't talking about pornography anymore.
And then we cut to Wright shoving a giant piece of chicken tenderloin in his mouth.
Ooh.
Well then.
Can I get some of that?
Yes, back on the ship, Wright is eating.
Look good, doesn't
Hikari
it?
Is reading. Chakotay is being their bitch.
Of course.
Well, and, you can tell it's a Sentai movie because everybody's playing their trope.
Yes.
Yes.
And apparently Yellow has baked something, which that's never a good sign in any Sentai.
Okay, now refresh me. For the point in the series we can assume this episode takes place based on the stuff we see later, is this before or after Kagura learns to go baking?
I believe it's before.
Okay.
Because this takes place around episode 20 from what I've read.
Yeah, so yeah, Mia would have had to have made that. Had to have.
Oh, well. I was kind of hoping it was just like, you know, revisit this thing that we're doing in the show for one episode.
It doesn't matter because Tokati gets a face full of her cake anyway.
He certainly does.
It's just all over his face.
But, emergency. There's a train landing, so let's go watch it land or something.
There's a train landing.
There's a train landing.
So, the lion train lands at the train yard, and it's greeted by two shadows.
The lion liner.
The lion liner, yes, thank you. That's good. The liner.
I didn't want to go that far because that felt a little paladin level.
Liner. Nah, I think that's good. Let's go.
But for brevity's sake.
Oh, okay.
We need brevity here tonight. Please.
Okay, so we've got
No,
Wizard Shadow. And we've got...
Lord Chumley Shadow.
Lord Chumley Shadow. Well, Lord Chumley is more of a general, like, you know, Schwarzenegger road, so forth.
Or, pardon me, Lord Chumley Bonky.
But we have, it looks like he's all set to conquer India for the majesty of the empire.
Space India.
Space India.
Space India is apparently Japan.
What is Japan? He's got a Skeksis skull around his neck. So,
did you say he has a Texas skull around his neck?
No, Skeksis.
Oh, okay.
From Dark Crystal.
I was kind of wondering what a Texas skull looked like.
Well, it's
apparently
large.
Like that.
So, the Tokugers announced their arrival with the customary warning of "Get the hell back."
And Hound Shadow does not heed this.
Hound Shadow is busy pushing Lord Chumley Bonky out of the way.
I like how Ticket interjects after they run him over. Like, I told you so.
He told you to stay out of the white line.
So Chumley is all like, "Oh, good people, I can shoot you. That'll be fun."
I like his attitude.
Yes.
And so as he sets his blunderbuss down the ground, starts packing in the powder, loads the ball, packs the ball down, they're ready to start kicking ass.
And I like this intro slash opening. It's flashier than normal because it's a movie, but it's nice.
Yeah, it sure is a movie opening.
It is.
I like the shots of the Rangers next to the actors doing similar motions.
Yeah, that's the part I like the best, I think.
Yeah, that's the part that sure is an opening movie opening.
It is.
Yeah.
So
the Lions fight off upright.
Wait, what?
I did not hear anything either of them said.
No.
Paladin.
And then the lion sucks upright.
Oh, yes.
Sure, the lion does suck up Wright, but this is shortly after Wright is attacked by things coming out of the crotch of Hound Bunky.
Yes, there's also that. That is the thing that happens.
So, as the lioner speeds away, the rest of the team chases after it, saying, "Oh, come back, come back!" Because, you know, that always stops things speeding away from you.
Yeah.
We get a fart cloud of Emperor Zedd show up and say, "Hey, thanks for visiting. Come visit me. Pay tribute." Thinly veiled threats.
I don't think they're ever really even veiled when it comes to Zedd, to be honest with you. We've seen what he does later on.
That's our Zedd.
So the Lioner is trying to break into high orbit, but it's having
difficulty getting
erectile
it
dysfunction.
Yeah.
So as it embarrassingly slinks back into the ground, the team is able to catch up with it, and they enter to find a slightly redressed Tokuger set.
Slightly, ever so slightly.
There's a solar system model.
The seats are yellow instead of blue.
Yeah, and a lady conductor.
It's basically a new Denliner versus old Denliner thing.
Yeah, basically.
And this one's piloted by a robot dressed as a lady.
Or an idol actress that can't act, so they gave her a personality.
A robot, yeah. You just said the same thing as Mickey, but in a whole lot more words, Ken.
I did, but it still bears noting.
But I didn't know still, this was an idol actress.
She's still a better actress than Jam.
Kamen Rider Jam.
Oh.
So you already forgot that was a thing, didn't you?
That's not what I remember from the last episode of Gaim.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Do you remember from the last episode of Gaim?
Jonouchi being awesome. Finally.
Yeah, okay, then.
Jonouchi, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Jam is just kind of this big blobulous thing that they ended up fighting, and I don't really...
Blobulous.
I like that word.
Blobulous. It's like I don't even consider it an entity, except it was an antagonistic force they fought. It has no meaning to me at all.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Disco Darkness Palace, Lord Zedd's trying something new, and he swapped out his disco balls for spotlights.
The disco ball is still there. Yeah. The spotlights reflect off it nicely. I guess you figured, like, well, okay, this is a movie. We need to put something in. Oh, we have these lying in the back.
The spotlights do two things. One, they make it a lot more exciting.
Oh, you know what this probably is? They probably decided to bring out, like, the lights because they have a visiting dignitary from elsewhere within the Empire.
Yeah.
So one, they make the room more exciting. Two, they make it really irritating to look at. I'm glad they dropped them right after this.
Yeah. All it needs is like some music, you know, like.
Bob Horseman comes out.
Yes, that's exactly the kind of tune I was thinking of. Just the beat in the background. While you know, Niall here is trying to maintain composure, just have speakers just like blaring that in his ear.
So let's get some backstory as to what the hell's going on.
Yay!
It's pointless and we don't care. Next scene.
No, this is pointed actually because it's depressing as shit.
A little bit, yeah.
Lady is all like, hey, remember back in the 60s when humanity had hope for the future and we dreamed of going to space and bettering ourselves? Well, that created a train of imagination that soared through space. And nobody doesn't believe in that shit. And so don't work no more.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to die here alone on Earth.
This also implies that the conductors are very long-lived. Which is yet another implication onto various implications regarding them.
Yes.
Oh, so, my favorite part of this, though, is when they go down to the... When they go to the city, and she comments, like, everybody's looking down. And it's like, well, yeah. Yeah, that's accurate. society today.
Yeah,
I was waiting for Kari to say, this part doesn't really raise any questions about the conductors. The further questions are raised at the very end.
We'll get to that.
But I was just kind of waiting for Kari to tell her, well, there's nothing interesting in space. All the interesting things are here on Earth while we look up.
Hikari would be the one to say something like that.
Yeah.
He's not entirely wrong. I mean, there's nothing of immediate interest up there.
Aside from all the aliens that have attacked Earth nonstop for decades.
That's a myth.
Space pirates. Space police.
Okay, so here's my favorite part of the whole movie. Wright wants to help Lady out.
Of course.
That's a really awful name.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, Japan.
They should just named her a female actor. And so, Wright, in his lovely 9-year-old brain, comes up with a plan. What's the best way to get a train up in the air? We're going to jump it off the goddamn city, just like in GoGo 5.
At least this plan has some basis in reality.
Sort of.
It's about as real as the Tokyo-gers get, which is...
Exactly. This is something that's worked before in their universe.
I do like, though, also then you have the scene with Conductor and Lady, and just them for a minute or so, where he actually, you know, tries to exposit upon, you know, what the Tokyo-gers motivations are. And because it's not often you just really just kind of see a serious moment from Conductor. So it's nice.
Serious and close as he can get, because they still haven't revealed their big secret yet at this point in the series.
Yes, of course.
Now, I like that when Wright comes up with his plan, drawn out in crayon,
the first
person he wants to show it to is, there's some 4-year-olds over there. I should get their input on this.
And see, the brilliant thing about this is, since it did come out before that revelation, like months before, this is when they were still pretending they were adults. The show was still pretending that these were not children.
Yeah,
they knew better.
This is exactly what Wright has done all along.
Oh, yeah, it is, but this just kind of brings me back to that, or the fact that when that revelation came up, you're like, oh, well, that explains everything.
Well, the thing is, too, like, going to the little kids with this idea fits within the series' own context.
It does.
Where, you know,
kids can see the rainbow line, of course.
Kids have the strongest imagination. Kids can see the rainbow line because they have the imagination. If anybody's going to provide the power for this to work, it's going to be kids.
And that's what Wright's relying on.
Well, and he's also trying to use it to prove to Lady that this actually has a chance.
Right.
But there's still the question of why these kids are dressed up like Amish versions of Madeline.
Because Japan.
Yeah.
And the gardeners. That's why.
The kids are gardeners?
Kindergarteners.
Oh. I thought you said the kids were gardeners.
Why would they be gardeners?
I don't know. They need jobs.
So where the hell were we?
Okay, so after Lady and Conductor share their little scene, they get ambushed by some crows, and Conductor is about to have to kick some ass. But no, we are denied yet again.
Yes, he points mightily at them, and they explode in sparks, but alas.
It's the Tokuchers.
So as the Tokuchers rush in to distract the crows, Wright helpfully escapes with Lady, leaving Conductor to fend for himself.
Yes, yes.
It's okay, Ticket will save him. He was a Tokuger, you know.
That's true, he was.
You can't deny that.
So Wright and Lady rush off to the train. And Lady's like, well, you're just going to leave your team behind? He's like, yeah, they told me to. Why wouldn't I? Well,
right,
hope they can handle themselves.
It's because he trusts his team to actually be able to, you know, take care of themselves.
Besides, it's not like he's going to be the leader in this instance. Yeah. They're not eating.
Right.
Yeah, just leave him with Hikari. That'll be fine.
Yeah. Or Mio. Mio's a good fighting leader, too.
Yes.
So, Wright's getting the plan in motion to tow the Lioner up into space, which I'm not quite grasping, but okay.
Well, they're using the main train as the booster rocket to get up to speed before it starts going under its own power.
Except they're putting their train in front of the space right. train.
Well, that's because trains are bad at pushing things. They're designed to pull things.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, Wright has a plan.
I don't know about
this.
Trains. I drive a car. I don't drive trains around.
Well, trains can't really do what they're about to do anyway, so let's move on.
I'm no train pilot.
You should get train simulator.
A train simulator?
It's train simulator. It's a game.
Oh, simulator, not stimulator. Okay, gotcha.
You can probably find a stimulator in the shape of a train.
I'm sure you can.
I think it's called JRX.
Nice.
So, Riot is chugging up the hill. I think I can, I think I can.
There's just something about that phrasing.
And so also we get an example of the fact that, oh, they film these movies usually early in the series before they actually cast the Sixth Ranger and have to do pickup shooting later for them.
Yeah, that's really obvious toward the end.
It is. Although they do better with Akira here than they have done in some movies where...
Such as the Gokaiger movie where Guy is not even anywhere near the action.
Not through the center part of the movie. Or in the Shinkenger movie where Genta at one point pops up in another shot that's supposed to be in the same shot but actually isn't. And then fights Juzo for some reason to keep him distracted later on. Eh.
To be fair, the Shinkenger movie only had 6 minutes to work with, so...
I like how its runtime shrinks every day.
The trailer.
I don't
was
remember that movie at all. Now that we bring it up, did we watch that?
Sort of.
No, we didn't actually cover Shinkenger. I don't think.
I think we talked about it though, because
didn't y'all cover it at the very beginning of the show because that was the same time that was on.
Well, we weren't doing regular episode summaries in the first few weeks. Oh. Then we got bored.
Then Ghost Adventure started.
And then we started doing episode summaries and we really got bored.
Because that's the year Ghost Sager started, yeah.
How did you make it until I started on here?
We got double.
Oh, sure, Ken. Act like you saved the whole damn thing.
No. Not that I saved it. It's just that by the time I got on here, you had stuff worth discussing.
Double was on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Here we are.
Okay, I wish we would have been doing the podcast. I wish we would have been doing the podcast when Goanger was on.
God.
Yes. Of course, I didn't start watching Goanger until episode like 30 or so, so.
Well, that was your mistake now, wasn't it?
Well, that was because my first toku.
Well, if it was your first toku, you should have started earlier.
All right, then. Back to Tokuger.
So, yeah, Akira is sort of here.
Kind of.
He has things to do in the movie.
Yes.
Yes, he's fighting things, and that's fine. He's mentioned.
Well, so they're, okay, so like, no, but like in the train yard, you know, he's fighting his way over to the switch to save the train from crashing into the other trains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as he's making his way through, he's like punching and kicking. Then he looks over to his hands. Oh, yeah, this thing. So then he starts using the Udo Breaker, which I think he also throws at one point because, of course, he does. Because
it's Akira.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, basically all I knew about him and when they actually filmed the majority of this movie was, oh yeah, he'll be fighting at some point.
And that, he's not relevant to this discussion.
He really isn't.
The only things they knew about him when they were filming...
We spent 30 minutes talking about how he did nothing.
The only thing they knew when they were filming this was he would exist and he'd be bad at using his weapon.
Our perception of time is really messed up on this podcast.
Yeah, we've only been going 20 minutes.
Oh, and that this is his place to die.
Right.
Well, that could have been overdubbing too, because that was just like in suit stuff. So.
Oh my god! I'm gonna smash this tumbler through my eye.
Go on, Mickey.
Okay, what? Train's going up the hill. It can't make it. There's not enough imagination. So conductor calls attention to it by squirting his droplets all through the air, and it's magical. It attracts the attention of all the children with all this ejaculate from the train.
Well, really, to get the results he wanted, that's not a bad idea.
No.
No. Everybody likes rainbows. Everybody looks at rainbows when they see them.
Especially one that's that vibrant. I mean...
Yeah.
You don't usually know
that. In the middle of the day, no less. So, yeah, that's actually a really good plan.
Uh-huh. And also, there's a giant train ramp running through the center of it, so...
that too. Well, yeah. that the children can see, at least.
Right. No, I mean, within the context of Tokyo, this is actually a really well thought out plan. It's absolutely absurd, but within the rules of the series, this is actually really good.
Yeah, it is.
So points for consistency.
Yes.
So, with the plan apparently working, Wright tells Lady to, okay, well, I'll see you later. And she teleports to her train, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were coupled together. She probably just ran through the cars.
That seems really dangerous, that high up, moving that fast.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. I'm sure they're connected in between. It's not, you know, open connections.
Well, okay.
But so, Wright, that's the best thing, I think.
Yes, Wright pulls away by doing a loop-de-loop, which is awesome.
But that gets even more awesome.
Because he just crashes the thing straight down on top of...
Yes! And the best part of that is when you see the other Tokyujers and then you see the city and you see it just crashing into the ground from above. Like, damn. I hope there was anybody standing.
Yeah, he has the pink liner like a damn satellite strike.
Wright does not know the meaning of the word overkill, apparently.
Among several other words, I believe.
Well, he is nine.
Yeah. I mean, I had a pretty extensive vocabulary when I was nine, but I'm weird.
Same.
Well, the team congratulates themselves on their plan working until Chumley wanders out and says, I'll get you, Gadget. And they're like, no, we're going to hunt you this time with our brand new toys.
Oh, yeah, because Lady gave Wright a case full of new toys before she left.
Buy our toys!
And the team's like, what do these do? And Wright's like, I don't know, let's find out.
Well, that sounds like a thing Wright would do, though.
Yeah. It does.
So just don't give Wright any briefcases from Brainstorm.
Oh, God, no!
What does this button do?
Although, Wright seems just the perfect speed for a My First Blaster.
He does.
So, let's beasting. Where the Tokyujers become Wild Force.
Yeah.
And Kagura becomes the best one.
Poor Kagura.
No, I think she's enjoying that part, actually.
Well, yeah, she's thrilled.
She wasn't at first.
No, she was just kind of confused, but she was into it the entire time. It was everyone else that was confused.
Oh, well, okay.
Because she has a really strong
imagination.
Leader.
Yeah.
True.
Kagura's great.
Pandas are strong.
Yeah, so we get
if they're so strong, why are they almost extinct?
Oh,
Because they won't bang. They're terribly unsexy animals.
I'm sure somebody's into that.
So, with Tokyo users transforming into wild forest, they go around clawing the shit out of things.
Yeah.
And I like
Mio especially is wild forest. It is, like, that the exact thing.
Oh, well, no, Tokati also, though, because,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's right.
Tokati's really channeling,
Gao Yellow.
Yeah. I was gonna say Gao Eagle, but I realized I was mixing up my, designations there.
Your animal Sentai.
Yeah. No,
and then
but
Hikari
I
shits
also,
a tail out of his ass, which is fun.
I like Wright and Mio basically forming a subunit because they were both cat themed at this point.
Yeah.
That was actually really good fight directing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course we all know who steals the scene is Kagura. Pandas are strong. Pandas are strong. Ultimate panda.
Yes.
Kagura is the greatest.
And then it's time for the education split again.
It's like batting away his crotch bear trap. Which I say seriously because that's what it is. It's a crotch bear trap on a chain.
Ow.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so time to make the monsters grow. And we dick around for a bit selling toys.
I heard that typing.
We'll see.
Oh, God.
But just in time for the movie to end, here comes the safari trains. What's going to happen? Well, Wright jumps ship and combines the train.
Oh. We kind of glossed over the part two where Akira, for no apparent reason, is just inside the cockpit of the Pink Liner.
That hasn't happened yet.
Oh, I thought that was before.
No, it happens after Wright jumps ship.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, Wright jumps ship to go hop in the new toys. And transforms it into a mighty steed.
Which it will remain for most of it because they don't have budget for another suit that they're going to use for 5 cents.
Yes, and
or the budget
the movie,
to animate the CGI model they made.
Yeah.
And seeing the movie now, I can understand why this didn't actually show up during the series at all because there is no suit.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, we're playing with a new toy. Akira decides... I'd be better off being seen with the other Tokyuugers.
Since we don't know how to make Chocho Tokyudaio yet.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he suddenly just sitting in Wright's chair.
No. The thing I was talking about, though, was when he's just in the enemy cockpit for no reason.
That was much late. That was much earlier, yeah.
Yeah. We kind of glossed over him just, like, ninjaing into...
Well, the movie kind of glosses over him, so that's about fitting.
I don't even remember that happening, so...
I only remember it because it's like, wait, how did he even...
Right.
But since he does that twice in the movie...
Well, it's not so weird him getting into Tokyo.
Well, yeah. It's just that him suddenly being in there.
I guess.
Yeah. Because
well, it's unfortunate
it was caught
that he
with
jumps
the empty chair,
Tokyo.
Change angles again, suddenly he's there.
Yeah. Regardless.
Maybe it's a subtle commentary on how he, you know, just like... Is he even really in this movie?
Anyway, the fight.
He showed up there in the cockpit to die and presumably take everyone else with him.
Yes, but
yeah.
We need to finish the summary. Come on.
And everybody kind of is disagreeing with that concept.
So let's wrap this shit up with a shoddily animated rider kick from both Megazords at once.
It is still kind of cool, though.
And they so
it is. It's just really disappointing you don't get to see anything.
Yeah.
And they used the robot model for that, for the...
For Gao.
For
Gao.
For, like, all of 3 seconds.
Yes. They do.
So the Tokyuugers return their toys back to Lady, and she rides off into the sun.
Not sunset, the sun.
Yeah. Well, it's a space train. It can do that.
Yes.
She'll be back in 25 years, or possibly in time for the team-up, it's hard to say.
Spoilers, it's the team-up.
Yeah, I know.
And then, she pulls out a surprise. Yes.
It's she yours, was never right?
She was never a lady at all.
That's not lady, that's his wife.
I'm still going to say this doesn't really throw a wrench into our perception of, you know, Ticket and the president. I think she just doesn't actually have her own symbiotic.
Well, no. She mentions that she's not as good yet.
Now who's talking? The puppets? Or her?
And since she's not as good yet, as that's implying as she's not as good as conductor or...
She's not as good of a host yet. She's not as good of a host, so her puppet friend can't stay attached as long.
It's early in the symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And by symbiotic, I mean parasitic.
They're still adjusting to each other. Her body is still part-time rejecting.
It takes decades, actually, as we find out.
Mm-hmm. We'll get
Speaking
to him,
decades.
Too. Well, let's put it like this. The actress isn't even 25 years old, probably.
I thought she was, like, 15.
Probably.
Then how does she end up in space for 25 years?
Well, because, see, time... when you're moving... As you move closer to the speed of light, time slows down.
Anyway, please remain seated in front of the screen. Next up is Kamen Rider Gaim, which is actually...
Sort of.
Us. Yes.
No, but...
If Acer ever subs anything ever again.
Well, they want a vacation.
The Gaim movie, maybe?
But no, so... At the end, as the safari liner is taking off, you see out in the distance Akira, badly composited into the background. Yeah. Still, like we said, he did better showing up in this movie than most sixes do.
Yeah.
This was an okay movie for the most part.
It's fine. It's not a bad movie.
And it's not like they had to come up with a dumb excuse like guy getting groceries.
It has a couple of good moments, but it's also a summer Sentai movie, so generally that's...
It's entirely disposable, but at least it's brisk and fun.
Yeah.
It's not boring.
I think really my only... my favorite summer Sentai movie is still probably the GoBuster one, just because it had such great fight choreography. But...
It also had Enter.
And it had Enter. Oh,
yeah.
Enter. Sigh.
Yes, Enter.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Toei, apparently.
Damn it.
Well, what do they know?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, and judging from the sound of Mickey, it's time to take a break. We'll be back with the second half of the movie.
Superhero time.
Yep, right up to Dick.
Ow.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's how much it hurts.
Ruining jokes for everyone.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers! I hear Lord Zedd is bragging again. It's time to turn up the power. Activate the talking white ranger.
Ranger power!
That ought to keep Lord Zedd quiet for now. Talking white ranger and talking Lord Zedd from Bandai. Turning up the power.
Ragu introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces, and suddenly everybody's saying,
I feel like chicken tonight, chicken tonight.
Choose from 6 new sauces, each one's made with real vegetables and herbs, so you can make dishes like country French chicken and chicken cacciatore. Just brown the chicken, simmer, and serve.
I feel like chicken tonight,
New Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces from Ragu.
Chicken tonight.
Listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
Anyway.
Yes, anyway. So, anyway. How many months ago did this come out?
September?
Well, however long ago that was. That's how
when
long
was the Tokuger versus Gaim crossover?
This actually came out in Japan in theaters April last year.
Right. And the subs have been out for months also, and we've just been putting it off. But now it's time for Kamen Rider Wars.
Well, part of that was because it came out when we were on hiatus, and then it just kind of...
No, part of that was because it came out from a subgroup we've never used before.
That's also true.
That was the majority of the problem.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, that's something we could have picked up at any time since we resumed.
That's true.
But we didn't until now when there was absolutely nothing else to talk about. So yeah, Kamen Rider Wars. Paladin, you're doing this.
Oh, mother.
Well, see, he doesn't want me to do it because I enjoyed it.
Well, no, it's just that I know Paladin will enjoy it less than you, and that's more appealing.
Okay.
I don't have a specific objection to you doing something you enjoy, it's just, you know.
Okay. I do like this movie. If I didn't
know I would get that reaction out of Paladin, I would have just thrown it to you.
Right, okay.
I guess since we've gotten that reaction, you can just go ahead and do it now.
No, by all means, let Paladin go.
The entertainment's over with, so we might as well just...
No, there's still more entertainment to be had.
Well, it's still going to be a Paladin summary, so someone else is probably going to end up doing it anyway.
That's very true.
Damn.
It's not where I expected it would go, but Fort Max did school someone this week.
Damn.
We love you, Fort Max.
Apparently you don't love Paladin.
It's Paladin.
Well, yeah. You know.
Even I feel kind of bad now.
When Paladin can school someone like that, he's welcome to do so.
Yeah, I'm sure he has before.
Nothing comes to mind.
So should we get on with this train wreck or what?
Yes, let's.
Oh, it sounds like your microphone started to go out, too.
I'll see if we can do this in 25 minutes.
That's funny.
No, actually, that's pretty much the timetable I'm looking at, too.
Okay, yes. Okay, let's go.
Because if you look at your clock...
Yeah.
Always.
I thought you... Never mind.
Anyway, summer.
Okay, so it opens with this great fight scene between some of the Heisei and Showa riders, including giving them enough of a budget to actually use watermelon arms one last time.
Yeah, the fight. Let's not talk about Forze's new voice. Please, let's not do that. But
well, he just sounds like he did in the video game.
Right. Sure. The fight with Gaim and Jay, I actually really liked.
It was a video game fight.
Yes.
It was. It totally
was. It was a side-scroller.
Yeah.
It was. Yes.
There was actually a lot of this opening sequence that felt like, not just even the opening sequence, but like the first 15 or 20 minutes of the movie feels like a video game plot line.
It does.
But yeah, so like Jay smashes his hand down into a building and it gets stuck for some reason, long enough for Gaim to run up his arm and like poke at his face with his stick. You heard me.
That's unsafe behavior.
Wow, if you're saying that, that's something.
That's really unsafe behavior.
The master has become the student.
Wait, what?
Master what?
So, cut back to a week earlier.
He's baiting you.
And yes, and once again, we get the bad Skyrider CGI model.
Well, it's the only CGI model they have for him. They're not going to make a new one.
Okay, now...
All Japanese CGI is bad.
Okay, now, yeah. I guess it was the first movie war, or maybe the second, mm-hmm. when all the Riders were fighting and... Decade was using the dimension kick thing to fly after Skyrider.
Oh god, that looked amazing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I remember that actually looking good.
That was a Movie War 2010 when he was murdering Skyrider Kabuto and somebody else, I think.
It probably doesn't matter who the other one was if we don't remember.
It really doesn't. But that one dimension kick against Skyrider was really freaking amazing looking.
Oh yeah. That was probably the only time Skyrider had CGI related to him, and it looked good.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a preview of things to come. So, go on.
So, we cut back to a week earlier in Zaume City, and a different flavor of crack appears.
Grape.
Hi. Oh, grape crack.
Maya and Coda go to investigate and fall through it and then look up and see the Earth. And I believe that's also the part where they get kidnapped by geckos that want to capture the Escaflowne.
Or they chase after a kid that's almost as tall as Gakusano.
Well, which
is not a joke either.
It's a kid.
Yes, it's Gakusano. Oh, which, Kota, I missed you.
Which one's which?
You especially see it when he's chasing up the stairs, and it's like, oh, poor Guck.
And he has a special power to peel back the floor and make Kota crash face first into the wall.
Or almost fall to his death.
So, as they befriend this kid, they try to take him back into Zaume City when they are confronted by Segata Sanshiro.
Or, also known as Takashi Hongo. Both work, really. They're basically the same character.
Yeah, they're just that dude in real life.
It's just basically Fujioka.
And he is the only reason anyone actually gave a shit about this movie anyway.
Because,
yeah.
like, the reason Ren Kiriyama as Shotaro makes such a good writer is because he's doing the same thing Fujioka does, where he's just being himself, mm-hmm. playing this part.
And this works a lot better than Let's Go Kamen Rider did, because for some reason they got Fujioka back for the voice, but they did not get Fujioka back. Of course, yeah, yes, I know part of it took place in the 70s, but that was just a plot contrivance.
Totally could have CGI'd Fujioka to look like he did in the 70s again. It would have worked
fine. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sure, I'm certain. But no, it's an old
dude.
Oh,
yeah, they could have. They wouldn't have even needed to CGI him.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what?
The guy's barely aged.
No, he got bigger, though.
When he steps onto the screen, he does have just, like, a presence that...
Gravitas.
Yeah, gravitas that not everybody else in Kamen Rider Def has, for certain.
Okay, so, here's my concept. For Let's Go Kamen Rider, what they could have done is to have him appear out of suit in the 70s part, just put JDF's face on him.
Freaking hell no. But no, one thing I do like is that one of the first things he does is he's like, you're an armored rider. I'm a Kamen Rider. Like he makes a distinction between the two almost, and that's interesting because not all armored riders are exactly, you know, out for justice or anything.
To be fair, Kota never tried to self-identify as a Kamen Rider either.
He didn't because he didn't know about them. But right.
I'm just saying, yeah. like the distinction being made is kind of irrelevant because Kota never. Himself in that title.
Kota never did, but as far as, like, universe goes...
Of course.
There being a distinction is an interesting notion. Because, again, you have people like Sid or Yoko or even Kaito.
Or Yo Kaito.
Regardless, he shows up, kicks ass.
Yeah, Sanshiro transforms to deal with some of the enemies in the tunnel, while Zaume City is being overrun by another class of monsters. Kota transforms and is quickly joined by Kaito, then Takatora, and Michi.
One thing I have to pause here, though, is Kota's transformation sequence here.
Oh, they do a lot of things with the transformation sequences.
Yeah, but Kota's transformation here is, like, freaking amazing, because, like... He starts to transform. He catches the orange as it falls down, using it as a spinning shield before the helmet has... Like, a helmet has not even forward on him, so he is helmetless while he's doing this, too.
And the gauntlet forms on his arm where he's holding the fruit.
Right.
Like, where his arm's going through it, the suit forms on him, even though the rest of him is not transformed.
Yeah. That is some really cool detail.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember one of the things we liked about Gaim in terms of visual effects was they would do things like this with the fruit as they fall. This just has that plus movie budget behind it.
Right. There's no
I like
one,
it.
But we'll get to it.
Yeah, I know.
And this is where we get to meet Kamen Rider 15 again.
Yes.
Lockseed to summon new rider arms.
Right, because in... the Tokuger crossover, he only met the Tokugers and the Showa writers. So actually, there is a bit of consistency there.
So he transforms to wizard arms to kick Takatora's ass, which is a double insult.
Also, okay, you can tell Yonemura only got, like, very minor details on certain characters. Because you have Michi call out Nissan around everybody else while they're transformed, which... nobody but him should know.
Well, nobody else is paying attention anyway because it's Mitchie.
Possible. That's a good argument.
Yeah. It's perfectly in character for everyone to ignore what Mitchie's saying.
Especially because it was Kaito standing right next to him, so he wouldn't give a crap anyway.
Right.
And Kota wouldn't believe him.
Yeah. That's very true. Because, like, remember, even when Mitchie was literally kicking him in the head, Kota still wouldn't believe that Mitchie was his enemy.
This is true.
Kota's stupid.
I love him, but he is.
Yeah.
Kota's an idiot. Kota is a great lead writer, but he's an idiot. Anyway.
So, after another encounter with the three Showa writers, they decide to take a break and go to the juice bar.
Yes.
Kota's been hurt at this point, too, so it's kind of a good idea to, like, get away.
Wonder if they're ever going to remake the rest of the Showa bikes.
No?
Probably not.
I mean, judging by later in the movie, they don't even have Machine Decatur anymore, either.
No.
And at this point, they meet Tsukasa, and what the hell is he eating?
He's eating his face.
He's got like this gallon-sized glass of ice cream and what looks like two whole apples.
And chocolate and fruit and strawberries and it's all shaped like the Cade's face.
Ken.
Yes.
Strawberries are fruit.
Well, yes. I know that. Shut up. Can't let anything go.
No.
Oh, yes.
Are you
new?
Of course,
no, I'm not. speaking of, like, screen presence, Masahiro Inoue really does have that with Tsukasa, but in a completely different way than Fujioka does.
It's like, I think there's a douchebag in here.
Intro quote.
It's like, as soon as the camera turns on him, he is just eating the scenery just by standing there.
Yes.
The scenery flows into him as though he were a singularity.
Yeah, basically. And of course, Kota recognizes him, so there is some continuity from Wizard.
Yeah, how about that?
Continuity in writer movies, what the hell?
I know, right?
And speaking of recognizing characters...
Let's do that up later.
And then there's Narutaki again.
It was just the best Narutaki entrance ever.
And Tsukasa immediately tries to stab him with a fork.
I like how everybody else is just like, what the hell? While Tsukasa's like, oh, hi. Tsukasa is just like so just like over his shit. He's not the least bit surprised with him
again.
Like,
I'm sure the feeling is mutual by this point too.
they're just like both just caught in this like eternal loop, and they both have just accepted it by this point. Like, okay, yeah, what's up? Anora,
and I love that they're never going to try to explain what exactly Narutaki is.
No, I don't want them to anymore.
Yeah.
I used to want that. No.
The closest thing we've ever gotten to it was that made-up trailer for the movie they hadn't shot anything for yet at that point, so they just did whatever.
I think after Narutaki in this, I do not want any explanation.
That's still, the closest thing there ever was that trailer with footage we just shot because we needed something to fill time that had Narutaki wearing Decade's camera.
Right. I just want Narutaki to show up, do something crazy, and disappear.
Well,
having an explanation for Narutaki... And
curse Decade.
Yeah, of course. Well, he starts with that.
Explaining Narutaki within the context of Decade's own series would have been fine, but we've moved past that point.
Yeah. At this point, Narutaki saying Onore Decade is, like, almost affectionate.
by the end of the movie, it actually is.
Yeah, it is. but I do like that. Narutaki explains that, you know, the Heisei writers and the Showa writers are not going to get along, but this and that and the other. And Tsukasa's just kind of, like, staring at his fork as he disappears, and he's like... And you know, Kota asks, like, what are these Heisei and Showa things, and... You don't need to know, but the Heisei writers are kind of an unlikable bunch, and Bando's like, you're probably the most unlikable one of the entire lot, and he just continues eating his fruit.
And strawberries.
And Shut up. Like, Takasa just cannot give a shit. It's one of the best things in this movie.
He seems like he's having more fun in this movie than he has in previous Versus movies.
Well,
he's getting to play regular Tsukasa instead of like in movie Super Hero Taisen where he had to play quote unquote evil Tsukasa for the entire movie.
Yeah, so like
he was just able to be old jackass Tsukasa.
Yeah, it was just evil Tsukasa.
The like best thing about the production of this movie is that the writer got the character of Tsukasa.
Well, it's Yonemura, so he did write the entire second half of Decay.
Okay, right, so, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's why this works so well and why Masahiro seems to be so into it, because this is
his role. Of course,
he
also wrote the first Super Hero Kaizen.
But yeah. that was intentionally different. Yeah. So
it was intentionally different, yeah. Because he was supposed to be playing a villain for the majority of the movie.
He was just being evil Tsukasa again.
Yeah, great leader Tsukasa, so, you know.
No, he's being evil Tsukasa in this movie. The other one, he was being villain Tsukasa. There's a difference.
Yeah, well, evil Tsukasa is standard.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Well, good Tsukasa is when he doesn't have crazy hair.
Well, he always has kind of crazy. Well, it's not that
the
crazy.
The crazier his hair is, the eviler he is.
I don't know. I've seen him on some stage shows, man. Masahiro's hair can get out there.
So, Tsukasa announces he's going to round up the rest of the Heisei Riders, and Kaito decides to go with him. Because reasons.
Because strength.
And their first stop is the Windy City.
And that is a great transition, too, because Kaito just asks, how's this guy going to help? And then he walks, and then as he walks, it shows it shows Futo Tower.
This carries on from the kid Shu drawing something from his memory, and Tsukasa looks at it and realizes that's probably Futo Tower. So let's go there next because there's probably a clue.
Right.
And I just happen to know this detective there.
Yes.
And it comes Shotaro.
They still have the hard boiler, thank God.
Yeah. And of course they have the exterior set because that's a real building someone owns.
Yeah, and that showed up in Forza at one point.
I remember. I was there.
Yeah, and it's a building on one of the Toei lots, and it's been repainted since then, and they went ahead and repainted it back to the double setup.
Yeah. Which is a lot of effort for one scene, but it's appreciated.
Well, it's the most important scene.
Of course, it's Shotaro.
Yeah, they're reintroducing Shotaro.
And I do like how he's, you know, like he's dressed like a lot like Narumi now,
which is kind of appropriate.
Well, he has been. He was the last few times he's shown up.
Yeah,
he hasn't been all white like that.
Yeah, he has.
In Mega Max, he was like in more of, you know, standard Shotaro outfit.
Well, that was what, 3 years ago.
Yeah,
he's grown up.
Yeah,
move on.
Yes.
So Shotaro refuses to help because he's busy chasing down lost pets.
Can I also point out the humor in Tsukasa basically trolling another writer named Kaito? you realize, like, somewhere inside of him, he's just, like, smiling to himself and nodding.
No,
and
I think
also
he's doing
I like
it openly
how,
outward.
Yeah, and of course, Shotaro's still half-boiled as ever.
Of course, because he manages to.
Now, one touch that I do like is that one of Akiko's slippers is nailed next to the sign of the next to the detective agency sign.
Of course, it is.
So Kaito gets recruited to help him solve the case of the missing pets, and Tsukasa goes on to his next target.
He just leaves him with Shotaro, or leaves him in Futo. He doesn't leave him with Shotaro. He's like, well, later.
And in comes Takumi.
Yes, and thus we enter the most heavy part of the movie, Takumi's post-traumatic distress disorder, the movie.
And this is
even after 10 years, nobody has gotten over fives.
And I was really surprised. This is actually a part of the movie I was kind of dreading, and yet I really enjoy this part of it.
No, like, you know, for me, calling it what I call it, it's actually done pretty well, and it makes sense.
Yeah, of
course. It's kind of like, this is a thing I'm surprised they have not actually done with a writer before.
Basically, this is what I would like to see them do with the with these team-up movies. You know, like, they, you have the current writer as the main focus, but grab a couple writers here and there from the past series and just focus in on them.
With a smaller cast, you still have the big battles, but you're not trying to focus on a large group for the story.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this story basically follows Kota Tsukasa, Shotaro, and Takumi, and one more that we haven't gotten to yet. And it works really well. It works a lot better than any of these superhero Tyson movies have in that respect, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Of course, Takumi can't get anywhere before he suddenly gets attacked.
Well, first he wipes out on his motorcycle because he forgot how to ride.
Well, that might be because monsters attacked him, but, you know.
So Decade has to save his ass.
And Decade still has, like, the best transformation music, too.
Oh, yeah, and it's so good they put it on the complete selection modification driver.
That's true.
Yeah, they put a new button and switch for BGM.
Damn. All right, that's pretty good.
And the transformation music is one of the two that's in there.
What's the other one?
I don't remember.
Okay, then.
But it's not. But the transformation music's in there, and that's the important part.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that his saucy salsa music?
Yes.
So, while Decade narrowly avoids getting his ass kicked by 15, Kaito is outwitted by a turtle.
Well, outwitted by a turtle, a dog, and Shotaro. I'm not sure which one of those is worse. Either way, he ends up in a lake with a fish.
He throws the cards to keep the turtle from going into the pond.
Mm-hmm. And it's a true homage to Fives because somebody winds up in the river.
River.
Body of water, I mean, you know. It all counts. I mean, you can probably do the same thing with a swimming pool.
Oh, it's just pretty bad when you end up in the water and Shotaro is like, dude, are you sure you can do this?
Did Shotaro ever end up in the water? I don't think so.
No, but he did melodramatically chase a guy
did
down
he? The I don't remember beach. Now.
He what? He
did melodramatically chase a guy down the beach and comment on it. It's the first thing that pops into mind for some reason.
80% of a man is determination.
All the rest is a bonus.
God, I need a rewatch double.
So, Takumi goes out for some lunch when suddenly a guy breaks in with a gun and takes a hostage.
That's the fakest ass looking gun.
Shh! It's Japan. They don't have guns in Japan. What are you talking about?
Well, that's kind of my other point, too. Like, where do you even get a gun in Japan to do this with?
Well, he's a criminal. I'm sure he got it somehow. But that's fine. They're going to send the entire freaking SWAT team for one dude.
He has a gun. He's a threat, he's a threat to the entire nation. This man may wage war on the entire country with his firearm.
Yeah. You know, and Takumi looks like he has a moment where he's about ready to just, like, dismantle this guy, but that's okay. There's somebody else there.
Yes, he's confronted by an elderly doctor who beats up the SWAT team so he can actually treat him.
Well, yeah, you know, that was freaking awesome.
The doctor promised that no harm would come to him, and damn it, he's going to follow through on that.
And he just casually dismantles the SWAT team like they're nothing.
So, you know, through the process, he stops the dude's bleeding and gives him this little pep talk, and he breaks down crying and surrenders his gun. And then the whole rest of the police force busts in and takes the dude into custody. And
totally ignores the guy who beat up all the officers.
And, well, nobody knows who did that. They're all unconscious.
There was gas and, you know, their lights were off.
Anyway, so then Takumi starts stalking the doctor.
Dr. Jin.
Who arrives just back at his facility just in time to treat a drunk guy.
an angry drunk guy.
An angry drunk guy who appears to have been stabbed with a window.
Yeah. Dude's a screamer.
Yeah. Oh my.
So he has to get He has to get Takumi to hold him down.
Well, come on, Takumi, we don't have all night.
So yeah, Takumi helps out for a bit, then has to wash the blood off his hands, because, hey, have we hit you over the head with the symbolism enough yet?
Not yet, because, so he's kind of steadily flashing back to Kaiza, getting his shit pushed in. Even though, I never made it that far in Fize, but he wasn't.
Me either.
I guess I don't have to watch the ending of Fize now.
Yeah,
apparently not.
The thing about it that I've seen and I've seen said is that he wasn't actually there for that. So, but hey, it works for the movie. I don't care because I don't care about watching Fize.
It's movie continuity, TV Fize.
Yeah, sure, it works.
That specific distinction is necessary because Fize had a movie out of continuity, so it can't just be movie continuity Fize.
Right. But yeah, Takumi and Jin have a nice conversation there.
Jin trying to help him move past his traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the next day, the monsters attack once again.
And you know what? That's not really a too far-fetched a thing, like even 10 years later, because, you know, there's people that have been in, you know, wars and such, and they are still dealing with that kind of crap.
Takumi's post-traumatic stress disorder, the movie, I mean.
Correct. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though. But it's interesting because you never...
Oh, no, it is. I'm not saying it's a bad... Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. And they actually handled it pretty well, given that it's a writer movie.
Right, of course, yeah. It's a writer
movie.
And it's
a Yomura
movie. It's a Yomura movie at that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you never see that sort of thing.
No, it's a really interesting direction to go with one of the returning characters, you know, show the aftermath of some of the shit that happens to them at the end of their series.
Like, at this point, Takumi has basically become a wandering vagabond Showa writer.
Well, minus the wandering part, because apparently he's still working at the laundry.
He is, but he's still trying to wander.
Yeah, he just can't get very far. Because he keeps falling off his bike.
Keeps coming back.
He's falling off his bike, so he has to go home.
Well, and he does at least have a good caretaker.
Yeah. Yes, as we see here in a moment. When the next day they get attacked by Badon troops again.
And after Takumi transforms once again, Jin reveals himself to be Kamen Rider X.
Oh, shit.
No, and...
Well, also we get to see Fize XL, too.
And the Autovision.
For 10 seconds.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Well, of course, it's Fize XL.
It's Fize XL, what do you expect? And, you know, I know it's a cheap thing to not show what he did in that, but it's also kind of... The effect and way it's done is kind
of
cool.
Okay, so go back to the very beginning of the movie, the Stronger versus Kabuto fight.
Where Kabuto...
And
we actually
see Clock up from the outside.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's actually really cool because, like, as he's getting punched, Kabuto just kind of phases around it.
Uh-huh.
Where he's moving faster than you can see. It's actually, like, they never did that during the series, and it's a really cool-looking effect, and they did the same thing with Fize here.
Right. So, yeah, you get to see Fize Axel's rider kick from the outside perspective, which is really neat.
Yeah, I like it. Someone's watching the movie.
Yes. Oh, sorry. That was me. I told you about the volume thing. I didn't realize that was playing that level. But yeah, I like how X-Rider's transformation is literally just X-Rider's transformation.
Dressed up a little bit, but yeah.
Very little.
But they didn't make it less dorky at all.
No, they didn't. That's great. That's what the great part of it is. Like, he is no less dorky, but he, like, it's like he doesn't have any super forms. He does not give a shit, but he's still going to kick the crap out of everybody in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's strong enough to beat Starfish Hitler. He can sure as hell beat Fize.
And he does.
It's Fize. Hard enough hit and the belt's just going to go flying.
I think all you had to say was, it's Fize.
Yeah.
Throw some hot food at him and he'll just surrender.
Oh, there is a reference to that earlier.
I know, before the whole hostage thing happens.
No, not even before the hostage thing. Well, yeah, with the ramen.
Right, and then with
too
the
hot,
dinner.
And then at dinner, right before this fight, he looks at the pot and is like, oh.
That looks really hot.
Yeah. Yes.
But no, like, Fize won't even really try to fight back because, you know...
Kindly old doctor from the country.
Uh-huh. He kind of became friends with him, and he doesn't want to fight, and, you know, so then X just kind of leaves him alone because he's weak.
Yeah, basically.
Like, he knocks him off a roof, the belt falls off, because of course it does, and, you know.
Yeah, that had to have been intentional. That yeah. could not have been not intentional. But it is also cool
the only
because...
way, the only thing that I have an issue is that he didn't land in that wet spot leading to the manhole cover.
Yeah, that's true.
That would have been perfect.
I really thought when he went off that side, it's like, oh my god, he went into the river.
Yeah. And then Noe just landed on cement and wait, there's a wet spot right behind there from where stuff was draining. Missed it.
maybe Yonemura thought it was too on the nose.
Maybe. But like with Takumi, where you get to see, you know, what he's been doing for the past 10 years, you get to see what Kamen Rider X, who's been doing for the past 30 years.
He's a country doctor.
Yeah. Which is
kinda works for him.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. It's cool.
I mean, you know, like, most of the time we get the Showa writers and the team-ups, you don't see anything of their actual lives, so you basically get the idea that, okay, so these people basically just been condemned to fight for the rest of their lives, which is probably going to be a really long time since they're cyborgs and probably won't die soon.
X probably took over his father's old business.
Right. Yeah.
Because his dad was a doctor.
So, in the time that he's not, you know, a...
It might help if we'd actually watch more than one badly subbed episode of Kamen Rider X.
But that was the best part.
But regardless...
I can't argue that, but still.
It does leave this kind of thing. It's like, well, he knows that he's going to be fighting for the rest of his life, off and on. So, in the meantime, he's going to help people.
Yeah.
One way or another. Which is a nice thing.
Yeah, that's nice, and you get to see that, you know, these people do have some kind of life outside of just being a writer forever.
Yeah. In a way, it makes it more believable that they could all exist in the same country.
It's like Hokuto has another life where he's actually Jesus.
Well, not yet. He gets there.
Yeah, that came later.
Meanwhile, back in Futo, Shotaro has solved the mystery of Shu. Turns out he's dead.
And Kaito did get that turtle.
And he's all proud of himself for it, too.
And I like Shotaro's reaction. He's like, you can handle, he just said you can handle the rest. And he's like, he was pretty angry. And he's just kind of like staring casually off into the sky. like he knows, he knows exactly what he did to that man. This is like moves on to the next part of the conversation. So what's up?
Shotaro is the best.
Yes.
Oh, and Futo-kun.
Yes! Futo-kun!
Yay.
Unfortunately, not the SIC version.
No, you mean fortunately.
No.
I know what I said. This time. And it turns out the other world that Kota and Shu fell through was the world of the dead.
Oh, they went to hell.
And they're going to use his special powers to open up a rift and switch the world of the dead with the world of the living.
This sounds familiar. But I can't quite place it.
Really?
No, I remember a plot, you know, to swap the world of the living and the world of the dead, but I can't remember from where.
Oh, you mean you actually can't remember?
Yeah.
Well, there was the, there was present and, the, well... Let's see, there was the Oh Summer movie.
Nobody remembers that.
Try not to remember.
Wasn't that an Ingrid Bergman film? Ingrid Bergman?
No, but again.
That wasn't a plot to switch the living with the dead, was it?
No. Well,
that was switching present with Major?
Bricks. It was switching presents with Bricks. It was also an episode of Frasier.
Regardless,
Tsukasa... We can switch the presents with the future.
Regardless, Tsukasa finds Shu's mother while Shu...
And Shu's father is Kamen Rider 15.
Right, and while Shu finds his old house with Kota.
So, okay, the thing that grabs me here is that Kamen Rider 15 looks like he's about 65, and Shu's mother looks like she's about 20.
Well, Japan.
I guess.
Kamen Rider 15 is scary without the mask on.
Kinda.
Yeah, that's true. So Gaim fights
now,
Kamen Rider.
I feel like I've seen 15's actor in something before that where he wasn't 15.
Yeah.
Do we skip past the part where Guy could have saved this kid's life?
Who?
What?
Guy from Gokaiger.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Shu died because...
Yes, I remember.
Shu died...
Where were you, Guy? Come on! You're just going to get resurrected by...
The hospital. That's where he was.
Alternately, this totally could have been the lead-in to Yu Yu Hakusho.
That was my thought, yes. But yeah, this movie kind of takes a dark turn. Running around with a dead kid now. Oh.
Yeah, so like...
That's a fun summer movie for kids
show. Yeah, so Shu got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Or a truck or something. It doesn't really matter. It was big and head...
Just like Guy.
It was big and head wheels, though.
Just like
Yusuke. Didn't Yusuke just get hit by a car?
Oh, no, he did get hit by a car. That's right.
Yeah.
Because he went over the car.
Right. Kind of hard to go over a truck.
Well,
I mean, it's possible if you get hit hard enough, but, like, just in general,
yeah,
you're probably going to go...
This isn't like Gaku Sano getting hit by a truck.
No, if he ran out, the truck would just go over top of him. Like, it wouldn't even touch him.
Well, like, no, seriously.
We're assuming Gaku Sano jumped.
Seeing things with this kid in Kota just really illustrates his hike. More than anything else, for some reason... Just
more
that.
Than the Kurokage armor being huge on him.
Yeah, the kid comes up to his shoulder. It's like 12.
But yeah, dead
okay,
kid who...
Kid or Goku Sano?
What? So, dead kid is stuck on Earth because he has to basically make things right with his mother.
Apparently, 15's actor was in Zaborger.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay.
Just reading his resume. And Kamen Rider the First.
Maybe God. 15 is
so right. he was Spider in the
right.
First, right?
Right, right. So, okay.
And was adult Zaborgar.
We're gonna break it first.
Oh, what? No, what was
he was
adult,
he was
adult go on red.
He was senior citizen Sosuke.
Right, okay. Get it now. That's right.
That's okay. We're at least halfway through the movie at this point.
This is true.
Oh, Jesus.
oh, this could be a lot worse,
yeah,
Mickey.
They won't let me. 15 shows up to try where Kota and Shu are and, you know, explains everything we just explained. So it's time for them to fight.
So Kota gives him his bike, but they have the wrong lock seed for this to get Shun out of there, and then switches over to Strawberry Arms, which bounces off 15.
Yeah, good going there.
Yeah.
That's fine. Strawberry arm suit.
That's fine because...
You know what Kota's mistake was, though? He didn't do a finisher and just, like, do a sword slash full of kunais at 15.
Yeah, so he... What is it?
We actually got to see some action of them of him in the full armless suit.
Right. So what I forget what the name of Kota's bike is.
Sakura Hurricane?
Except that's not the one they're using. That's the Rose Attacker.
That's Rose Attacker. Well, it kind of really didn't matter in the context of...
Well, and, like, there is nothing to say that, you know, he didn't grab one of those lock seeds from somewhere at some point anyway.
Yeah, he probably
did. You know, he was giving them his spare bike. He wasn't giving him...
Right.
And considering at various points in the series, we see... characters with a couple of lock vehicles on them for whatever purpose, it makes sense that they're carrying around extras of stuff that there's a surplus of.
Right, so Tsukasa rides off with Shu on that because they don't have the machine to cater anymore.
I wonder what they probably rebuilt that into.
It's just that it wouldn't have made sense for him to have suddenly had it now.
I don't...
So he drives up and finds Black and Black RX fighting against Count Dragon.
Yes,
Somehow.
I wonder how they're going to handle that in the new movie, considering that Kotaro is actually supposed to be in it.
Same way they did in Decade.
Oh, I hope.
Well, except at least in Decade it made sense because they were from two different writer worlds.
I wonder when Decade merged the worlds if they just suddenly ended up two Kotaros.
Yes, I'm just going to go with that because...
That's the only way it can work. But the best part of this is, of course,
No, wait. There is another explanation that we are not considering. And that RX is not RX, it is Prince Dex.
Oh, or no! There is another. We got wacky time travel again, like in that one 3D short.
No, it's Prince Dex. That's just what that's what it is. That is Masked Rider, not Black RX.
Okay, so anyway, the best part of this is, because Ren Kariyama is a big Kamen Rider Black fanboy,
right.
He gets to show up and fight them on his own. And completely lampshades it.
I feel like we have a certain camaraderie between us.
And I do like you know, up to this point in the movie, a couple of Shotaro scenes have been kind of goofy. But as soon as he gets off that bike, he just kind of, like, clicks with it immediately.
Oh, he's in business mode now.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, it does not take Ren Kariyama any effort to get in character.
No.
Because he is the character.
Uh-huh.
Then we do get a great fight with Joker versus Black and Black RX until he's joined by Kaito.
For some reason. But I do like how Kaito... Kaito just...
they have to keep the currently airing Rider in the movie somehow.
Yeah. Well, Kaito just sticks the freaking cards in the Black's faces.
Yeah.
And then he whips out his mango.
Like, that seems like a bad idea, typically. But Kaito doesn't know any better, nor does he care.
Well, and at least, you know, he's doing his typical spear slash thing when he's in banana, but at least when he goes to mango, his natural movements lend themselves to the hammer.
Yeah, well, also I like about Kaito's entrance.
Well, he's still using his hammer like a sword.
I still like about Kaito's entrance. Like, he tries to look all badass and stuff, and then he just throws the cards in the air and is like, dude, Kaito, that, okay.
Yeah,
I know. Hi, Kaito. How are you doing, Kaito? It's been a few months. I miss you, Kaito.
Kaito still has to be Kaito, no matter what.
Yeah.
I know.
He still has to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Well, don't worry, right? Don't worry. Amazon and Super One are cheap assholes and are planning to do that themselves. Because, like, as soon as they beat Black and Black RX, they're like, oop. Stabby from behind.
Oh.
As they take out Mango Arms and then presumably Joker off. No, Joker does not get taken out. That's right. Okay, so no. Move on. It just cuts
and
away.
And then it's Tsukasa's turn to face off against Kamen Rider 15 so he can deliver his famous line.
Yeah.
Well, it had to happen sooner or later.
And 15.
I really kind of wish this would have been translated a little different, though, with 15 asking, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Because 15 should know and not need to ask, who are you anyway?
One thing that I do wish is that this movie needed its soundtrack released.
Yeah.
AVEX, I don't know why on earth AVEX wouldn't have released. There are so many good tracks in this thing that
there
were made for it that were new.
Yeah. My other little quibble with the translation is that passing through Kamen Rider sounds really freaking weird in English. Kamen Rider passing through does not.
Well, and in the English dub of Decade, isn't that actually how they phrased it? I'm a Kamen Rider passing through.
Yeah, that sounds natural.
I imagine.
And that was my same problem with TV Neon.
Right, and I suspect, like, you know, these people followed, for the most part, Acer's style in doing the Gaim stuff.
Right.
And I think
sorta.
Not everything, but there's enough of it that, you know, they were trying to remain consistent with what they were doing.
Would be too confused.
But I would not be surprised if, you know, their reference for Decade ended up being TV Neon.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it we know what the line means.
Yeah.
And then just to force out the wound, 15 takes on Decade Arms.
Yeah. Decade
can choose to fight back with his Hibiki for some odd reason.
Hibiki and Kuga.
Okay, well, Kuga is the most powerful Heisei rider of them all.
Yeah.
And Hibiki kills things by beating them with sticks, as Mickey is fond of pointing out.
Yes.
So these are not bad choices, objectively speaking.
And remember, 15 can transform into any of the Heisei riders, at least the four that we already had arms for and the two new ones that we made.
Yes. But, you know, at least Tsukasa tries to do a rider kick as Kuga, which is more than Useless did most of the time, so, you know.
Yeah. See, okay, so, like, one of my few fight structuring problems with this is I would have liked to see, at least for a little bit of this, Decade take advantage of the fact that he's been transforming into these riders for a lot longer than 15, and he would know how to exploit weaknesses, including his own. Like, he doesn't need to win the fight, but he needs to do better than he did.
This is true.
He should display the knowledge that he should have from doing this.
I also would have liked to have seen Tsukasa randomly whip out cards from after his series and just not explain it.
Yeah.
He just randomly has a Forze card. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Tsukasa.
Exactly.
Randomly has a 15 card.
Oh, that would have been the best. It's oh yeah.
And then 15
and then
switches over to Gaim
on top of that.
I'll show you how this works, bitch.
And then Gaim Arms has the best Sengoku jingle in the entire movie.
Fruity Warriors to the stage.
Yeah.
These translations.
Fruity
Warlords on parade.
Ah, right.
It's not inaccurate.
Now, Decades was also pretty good.
It was a reference to the theme song, I forget.
Yeah.
Something.
Destroyer on the Road?
Something like that.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it sounds cool just on its, without the context, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, and, Decade introduced himself at the start of the movie as the Destroyer of Worlds, so...
So anyway, after 15 kicks both Kota and Tsukasa's asses, I do like the line Tsukasa has when he gets up. He's like... regarding Shu, he's worried about everyone else living despite, being dead. And Kota just stares at him Jesus Christ, dude!
Yeah, Kota's a very sensitive little man.
You heard me. No, not a very sensitive little man. He's a sensitive very little man.
Tsukasa has seen some shit.
Tsukasa's caused just as much shit.
Yeah. Seen it caused. That's a good bet.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's cut to the beginning of the movie.
No, we got so far.
No, first Kota whips out Ketchidoki arms.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, they got their ass kicked. It's important. He's got his ass kicked. Regardless
then,
of how it did.
While all the evil villains are... Kamen Rider villains are meeting in their underground lair, in comes General Schwartz.
Hello!
Hey, if you're having a darkness party, we want in on it.
That suit does not look out of place among the Kamen Rider villains at all.
No, I think that's what we said at the beginning of Tokuger 2, is that the villains looked a lot like they would not look out of place in Kamen Rider. And guess what?
That's because they're higher quality villain costumes than Sentai usually gets.
Yep. And so what is Schwartz's welcoming gift?
The Darkliner Robo goes to attack the Denliner, because it can do that, apparently.
And Momotaro's what the hell happened here? my climax is just getting started.
There's a point in this where I think they're supposed to be Momotaro basically falls off the motorcycle and is kind of hanging on the side, and I think the picture was supposed to be turned to make it look like the train was momentarily on its side, and they just kind of forgot to do that.
Yeah, because the Denliner goes spiraling out of control into the current time, where it explodes above Tsukasa's head. Whoops!
Again!
We're gonna need a new everybody.
Fortunately, they can just go somewhere else in time and get an intact Denliner, and everything will be fine.
Right next to the Gokai Galleon.
So then all the other Heisei and Showa writers show up because they couldn't afford to get any more returning actors for this.
Well, not all of the Heisei writers. It's because Tsukasa and Tsukota meet up with Takumi, and then Joker brings Wizard, Oz, and Kiva,
and
that's about all they have at the moment.
Didn't they have Forze also?
Not,
or did Forze get taken out earlier?
Forze had already been taken. Forze got punched to death by Jay at the beginning of the movie.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And even 3 years later in someone else's movie, Oz still cannot execute a Rider kick.
Well, yeah.
Because he gets taken down instantly by Rider Man.
Yeah.
Oops.
Ouch.
In mid-kick. Yep.
That also seems intentional. Like, somebody on production staff was like, you know he can't ever, right? We know, do it.
He can't ride or kick. He can't use a ride vendor correctly.
He's basically the worst rider ever.
Yeah.
Even more so than Jonouchi now, because Jonouchi actually grew up here.
Even more so than Decade Kuga?
Yes, actually.
Because Decade Kuga actually did a kick once.
He did kick a few times.
Yeah. Successful. And it actually worked, is the thing.
Yeah. Whenever he did, it actually worked, even if it was breaking Momotaro's neck.
Right.
At least he can hit something.
So where were we?
So when all the other Kamen Riders have been defeated and turned into lock seeds, the Bedum Fortress rises up and Ambassador Darkness reveals himself to actually be Kamen Rider Z-Cross.
Yes! That was kind of awesome. It's like he gives this whole complicated spiel about, you know, he had to disgrace himself many times until he...
This is sort of like the thing that happened in Let's Go Kamen Rider, except we didn't see this coming from the start of the movie.
Yeah, and it's not really all...
That it kind of makes sense considering Z-Cross is the ninja.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
It also didn't include, you know, Z-Cross doing 40 years of atrocities to make his cover more convincing.
Right, just a few months of it. But right. Z-Cross is a ninja, you know, and it makes more sense than Hongo and Ichimonji doing it.
Right.
For 40 years.
For 40 years!
Let's Go Kamen Rider was so bad.
It was.
No, this was actually good because this was unexpected and it worked when it actually happened. So.
And the thing is, because everybody forgets Z-Cross, like everybody really did, because you know Z-Cross is just a writer from that special. When when the other writer, Showa writer, showed up,
I think he had more screen time in RX.
He did. When all the other show writers show up, you don't think about it, like, oh, Z-Cross isn't there. Because nobody thinks about Z-Cross. Ever!
That's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's like audience expectations working.
You never notice him missing. You don't notice that he's missing. I mean, he really is a ninja.
Yeah.
And it's also impressive for this movie, for as long as they've skirted around it, in this movie they have three Showa writers. They're actual actors in here.
Mm-hmm. One's just a ninja.
Yeah, one's just a ninja. In a badass leather coat. Now, the explanation he gives is suspect, but that doesn't matter because we get to, you know, summon all of the writers via lock seeds.
Okay, so yeah, they basically go back to the thing from the first Superhero Wars, where all the defeated heroes are just waiting somewhere to be called in again.
Which was a plan by him and Hongo.
Specifically, Helene Forest.
Now, this does work better than Let's Go Kamen Riders, because Hongo is kind of a dick, but he's not as much of a dick to be a mass murdering psychopath for 40 years.
Yeah, because remember, Hongo's the guy who buried himself in a coffin.
Yeah, this is a perfect Hongo plan. So, of course, in the lineup, you have to have Hongo standing right next to Tsukasa, so you have the two biggest dicks right next to each other.
And apparently, Helheim can magically transform Kamen Rider Joker into Cyclone Joker.
Shh. They killed Cyclone on the off-screen or something. Shh. But I do like how everybody's falling down slowly, and, you know, they look all badass and stuff. Then there's Forze.
Forze with
just his arms and legs just spread out, and like, oh my god, Gintaro.
Yeah.
It's in character. I mean,
it is. Even if the voice is terrible.
Yeah.
So, then comes big, massive Kamen Rider fight scene, and then there's this giant CGI dinosaur skeleton.
Oh no, however will they fight that? Unfortunately, the first answer is a terrible one.
Yep.
We need dinosaur power.
No! Why do you need dinosaur
power? Not these
power?
Dinosaurs. Because in comes Daigo.
Oh,
like, this is better than the actual Dinozords, because then they'd be reusing that terrible Tyrannosaurus CGI model.
This is true. So, yes, he summons Gabutera. Yay.
Which doesn't really help them that much.
No, no. It doesn't. Gabutera gets his ass kicked, which is gratifying.
That's okay. There's more help to come.
Do I sound bitter or anything whenever Daigo comes
in? Yes, then in comes Ryugen wearing Kiwi arms, of all things.
Oh, yeah. The thing that only ever appears in crossover movies.
Well, there was that one episode of the series.
And that one episode of the series.
Yeah.
Wow, 15 beats the shit out of Forze, Wizard, Gaim, and Decade.
And Takumi is confronted once again by the ghost of his dead friend.
Yep.
Well, Hi, friend might be overstating it.
I do like earlier in the movie where he's talking about he didn't deserve to die. He was a creep, though, but he didn't deserve to die like that.
But yes, we get the smile again.
But God, he was an asshole.
Yeah.
So when Gabutera is both defeated, in come the Tokugers.
Okay.
Yay! Sentai I care about.
All in completely unmorphed fighting, too.
He's like,
yeah, that was actually pretty great.
He's like, oh, all you guys have to transform to do that. That's cute.
Well, they're just, you know, pretending they're Kamen Riders.
And they do have continuity with the Gaim crossover special because he and Hongo recognize each other. Mm-hmm. Or at least when he announces himself as another number one. Yes, Wright considers himself on the level of as same level as Kamen Rider 1.
Well, he is a number one.
He is. I know that, but still, you can tell his 9-year-old mind is working in a different.
His 9-year-old mind is, hey, we're the same because we're both number ones.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
That is the only reason.
That you're totally, you know, exactly comparable to the father of all Kamen Riders. Absolutely.
Yeah, he'd probably be saying the same thing to Red One.
Probably. Yeah, so Tokyo. Because we need a giant robot in this situation.
And it doesn't seem to help them that much against that thing.
Not yet.
But meanwhile, Kota gets the power of the Showa Rider, Lockseed.
Yep.
And activates Rider One arms.
And then tries to eat 15.
Yes.
That seemed to work like shin arms.
Where did that come from?
Well, the original Rider One suit had an opening mouth plate.
Oh,
so...
it did, but still.
Well, but not intentionally.
Yeah, but well, Kota, that's really concerning, to be honest.
I think that's something they actually retconned into being sort of intentional with later.
Of course they did.
Later thing calling back to it, because, yeah. Like, another.
There were a few
odd
times in Somersault Jumps where it. Where you could see the suit actor's face.
Yeah, but this also means that Kota has Ichigo arms and Ichigo arms.
I'm sure they have different kanji, so it's not confusing.
Oh, they do, and I'm sure there's a different pronunciation somewhere in there, but it's still funny.
Ichigo arms.
Because I'm a dirty, you know, rotten gaijin.
So, Takumi has to be talked out of stopping the Kamen Riders from foiling the Badan plan by X-N Wizard, of all people.
But here's the thing, though. For this is the only scene that Haruto has, but it actually made him more compelling than he ever was in freaking Wizard, because he has a point.
Oh, I just thought it made him seem kind of creepy, because here he is, you know, telling Takumi, who he's basically just met, don't worry, I'll be your hope.
Well, no, but the context of it is, in the Wizard Guy movie, his, you know, not being able to let go of the past and so on and so forth of Koyomi led to her coming back as an evil monster, basically. And had to, you know, have her, you know, basically put away. And he doesn't want to see that same thing happen to somebody else. So that actually works. I'll give them credit for that.
It works better when he's being written by someone who isn't trying to emulate in no way.
Basically, yes.
Unfortunately, Haruto's actor is still Haruto's actor, and it's
he
still...
is, but he so he only has this one scene. However, then this leads to something great, which is a triple transformation, where you go from X on one side of the shot to freaking Wizard Infinity on the other side of the shot, and it is such a contrast; it's hilarious.
You know, would have only been better if it had Shin transforming with them.
Oh God.
I don't even think Shin untransforms ever. I think he's just Shin permanently.
I believe he is, isn't he?
So while they blow up the fortress, Gabutera gets back up and transforms into the Kyoryu Jiraisha.
He final form rides.
Well, also, before that, I do like how you also have these two super form riders and then just X. X does not need a super form.
It's nice they remembered Fi's blaster exists.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the part that kind of...
Well, yeah, and as long as they have the suits, they might as well.
This is the part that kind of pisses me off, because it's like, okay, awesome, we get a Ditto head! That was awesome! And then it's like, Daigo's going to be Daigo, and he's going
now,
to...
Mickey, does the Ditto Russia have a head?
No.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
it doesn't
get
that way either.
You know...
You can kind of tell when you look at this.
Oh, okay, so it can't flip down to be a chest either?
Well, that's unfortunate. Still, in the context...
I was gonna say, if it does, we can just get, like, a 66 action Ditto.
In the
so
context...
you can, like, glue the head on top of it and just have, you know, Ditto Tokyo.
Regardless, in the context of the movie, it pisses me off, because Daigo, being Daigo, pisses me off, and usurping a Kamen Rider in a Kamen Rider movie is kind of shitty. Even though it is kind of a jab at, you know, Tokyo Kyoryugen featuring
the Denliner,
which is kind of a jab at the movie title, I realize.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of shitty because it's Daigo.
Well, and the thing I most regret is they put the rider thing on the feet, but they don't do a rider kick with it, which is kind of the obvious outcome.
Yeah, that too. It's like, why would you not have, you know, like, you could have done the exact same attack with the, but, you know, actually have the Denliner parts actually do something.
Yeah.
And instead of just spiral around it. And do it as a rider kick. Because it's
feet. And the Zero Liner was there, too.
Yeah, it's feet! It's feet! Why would you not do that?
I'm making that an intro quote, because it's out of context.
That's all you see of Super Sentai in the movie. Carry on.
So then we have the final fight with Kamen Rider 15 being defeated.
With a rider kick, of course. They use a rider kick there!
And Oz actually manages to pull off a successful rider kick.
Did we actually see Oz connect?
Yes, he blew up some mooks.
Well, I guess we have to give him something.
He blew up some
okay, mooks. How many years ago was Oz?
3 or 4.
What, 2010? 2011?
2010? Somewhere around there.
I think it started fall of 2010.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, 4 years later, and he finally gets has a rider kick that actually works.
Well,
it was a mercy kick.
Well,
yeah.
Keep in mind, Tajidor did have at least one rider kick that worked.
Yeah, but Oz in his base form did not have a functional rider kick.
Super Tataba did.
That's not the base form.
Yes, it's not.
But yes, finally had a rider kick that connected and defeated an enemy.
Yay.
It was nukes, but that's something.
I just feel like this. I feel like this is a Special Olympics moment, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
That's all.
So, with Shu's story finally resolved, they go into another all-out brawl between the Heisei and Showa riders.
And Og does another rider kick, and we're back to normal.
So of course, you know, she sets the better experience that I had. I like how Hongo is like, "You Heisei riders are soft. We're real men. Now we're gonna fight. You freaking pretty boys." That's not what he says, but you know the context is it.
Okay, so like, you know, skipping through the length of the fight here, it ends in the stupidest way. Where
it ends in the stupidest way twice, depending on which version you watch, because that is the only difference between the Heisei version and the Showa version. And
in the case of the one we watched, which is the one that was subbed,
which is the Heisei version.
Gaim
the Heisei version
chooses not to avoid a kick because he wants to save a single sad-looking flower on this rocky, rocky beach.
Now, do you want to know how the Showa version works?
I assume Rider 1 did not avoid a kick or other finisher from Gaim to save this sad little flower
no,
on this
actually,
rocky,
it does
rocky
not.
Beach.
It works differently. Gaim is about ready to finish a Rider 1 off, and then he throws his weapons away.
Oh.
Yes. So either way...
That would have actually made more sense than the flower, I think.
Yeah.
It did, but either way, it kind of ends the same, because either way, it's Kota that makes the deciding factor, not Hongo.
Well, of course, he's the current Rider.
Right. So basically, that was completely pointless. That entire vote thing they had to decide how it was going to end. I don't know, which version was in theaters?
The flowers.
God dang it.
But still,
because that was the Heisei wins.
This pitiful little single flower that looks like it's already halfway dead.
It's going to die tonight when the sun goes down.
Yeah, when the tide comes in.
So all the writers shake hands, say good game, and the movie is over at last.
Well, not before Narutaki, interjects, and Tsukasa's like, "Oh, Narutaki."
and he kind of does, with the shotgun fingers and everything.
Yeah! Like, he's like a laugh track, and the camera just freeze on that.
Uh-huh.
Exactly, the producer.
That would have been a better ending than the flower.
It would have. Oh, God. Writers are downright marvelous. No, unfortunately, Marvelous was not in this movie.
Well, he would have been if Baron was cast differently. Or however that went. That was Baron that was going to be Marvelous at one point, wasn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Kaito was apparently their first choice to be Marvelous, but he did not want to do it.
He could have pulled it off, I think.
Oh, he could have. He totally could have.
I don't think we would think any differently of Marvelous or Gokaiger if he was there.
And we see in the end credits that Kaito is still fascinated by turtles.
We also see my favorite part of the end credits is they have all the riders and their bikes riding along and all that. Then
Shins runs.
They should have had Beast go by on his bicycle. But of course, secondary riders did not exist.
No, he doesn't have it anymore, remember?
No, I don't remember because I didn't watch that much of Wizard.
It got stolen. Well,
of course
it
did because. Of course it did, because fuck Beast.
Damn.
No, I mean, that was Wizard, the series' whole sentiment toward Beast, you know.
Yeah, and of course, in scrolling in the background, we see things like, you know, Yggdrasil's Tower, and various little landmarks here and there, then it ends on the Futo Tower.
Rightly so.
Yes. That's one you're going to be able to recognize.
And, Kaito absolutely denying that he's looking at the turtles.
Yes. Well, Z-Cross just, you know, walks off to a plane to be a badass somewhere else. Save some other movie.
He'll turn up in the next Metal Heroes movie. Save that. And it needs the help.
Tsukasa still can't take a photograph to save his life. Forever doomed. A photographer unable to take a photograph. Then Hongo just rides off into the sunset. Sunset this time. Or no, just the daylight, actually.
Yeah, and they're letting him ride that motorcycle for real with no helmet as if they had not learned anything in 40 years.
From Fujioka himself.
Yeah.
That is the best part of it. But at this point, he's old enough. Are you going to tell him he can't ride the motorcycle? Are you really going to tell him he cannot ride the motorcycle? No, you're not.
They have Fujioka riding a motorcycle, and they have one of the actors being her own suit actor as well.
Yeah,
I know.
But it's like I can almost imagine a scenario where they were like, "Okay, Fujioka, we're not going to. You can't." And he just looks at them, and they're like, they step away from the motorcycle.
He just gives them the Sagata Sanshiro glare.
And he's like, just start rolling the camera. Don't look straight at him. He might retaliate.
Okay, so what it was, he was actually only going 5 miles an hour, and they just sped up the footage. Like, you
and
can ride this.
And ends on a nice dedication to the two riders that have passed away.
No, it didn't.
Oh, there's a production.
It was for two different, like a director and a producer.
Right.
Okay, well, that'll be our extremely oversized show for this week.
Yes, it will. Somebody thought of Power Playback or something. I don't know.
I don't even care because I don't know if we're doing a show next week because I don't know if I want to be here with you guys on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happier if I'm not here. Thank you.
I will be on vacation anyway, so I guess that gives me a free another free night. Oh well.
Yes, you'll have a vacation from the podcast.
Vacation.
You should go visit Mickey.
I think Mickey's like long since fell out.
Yeah, probably so. He's probably dozed off.
Like he did when watching the movie.
Well, I'm not really surprised.
No.
It is well past his bedtime.
So, Mickey's
an old man.
Mystery Power Playback and maybe two episodes of Tokyo next time we're here.
Something like that.
Yes. Or maybe just two episodes of Tokyo, because that would cover about the same space.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay.
We'll find out. It'll be a surprise for everyone.
Oh, God.
We will have real news by then, too.
No,
nah.
You're
cute. It's not close enough to Toy Fair.
Rise up, you're a friend.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Anyway, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, night.
Well.
Good luck. Till next time.
Good night, Mickey, if you're still listening.
Superhero Time! 来週もよろしくな!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.